Welcome to another episode of Intentional Partnerships. I'm Mike Hall with Strong Fathers, Strong Families. And we're really excited about our guest today, Matt Aaron, who is a principal at Plano ISD at Sigler Elementary. Again, disclosure, I've worked with Matt in the past and knew him when he was an assistant principal and watched him take over this school and do some amazing things with it. And so we're really proud to have Matt with us today. Lindsay, I think we're in for a lot of great information.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to Matt about throughout these episodes, we've talked to a lot of people at various places and spaces. And like we mentioned last time, we're hoping to continue to do that. And so today we bring you Matt, who's a principal in an elementary school with preschool as well. So thinking about as we back up these age groups, we've talked to middle school and high school and now bringing it back to elementary school. So we're excited to see where family engagement starts.
So Matt, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, man. Honored to be here. Excited.
Well, and we're going to send people to your Facebook page and your Twitter account and all those things, and they're going to find out that you are what I would call an excited individual, and you're doing great stuff at Sigler, and you are the hashtag king with all kind of great things like Celebrate Monday and some really cool stuff. And so we're talking about all these great, you know, these larger scope topics on family engagement. And so one of the things we kind of want to hit, particularly with you and the way that you're doing so many great things at Sigler, is compassion. And there's a lot of ways we could approach that. But I know as educators, you've got kind of this twofold piece. You see the challenges that kids come with, and then many times their families, and some are serious and intense. And then some are just challenges that come with trying to raise kids in certain economic situations, trying to raise kids with certain education backgrounds. And at the same time, our job is to be very pragmatic in their learning. And so I really love what you guys are doing there. And I see that you guys have a heart for families and a heart for kids. That's the approach I see you guys having. And so talk about the way that you guys, and you brought this great staff along and built your team, how you guys kind of view compassion in regards to your kids and your, you know, your families.
Right, man. Thank you. Well, thank you again. And yes, hashtag king, right? Super excited about all of that. But Sigler Nation like is a hashtag, but I tell you what, we started with that as a hashtag because it means so much more than being a part of just an elementary school. It's how we brand what we do. And I appreciate you bringing up the word compassion, because I think at the foundation of all of what we do is that understanding and that sense of compassion for the students that we serve and the families that we get to meet along the way. And then also just being a part of a larger school community, right? And all of the things that surround that. But I tell you, like you mentioned when we first met back when I was cutting my teeth as an assistant principal, and thinking about the word compassion, like I start back then, right? And that was truly my first experience working in a Title I school environment. Right. And I remember a conversation we had a sister school that helped us, whose demographic was very different than ours. And they had the opportunities and the flexibility to help us at the school at the time meet some needs. And I'll never forget a conversation that I had with one of our parents about just the level of need, right? And the amount of commitment in the heart. And I remember telling her, I said, you know, once you identify that there's a need in your heart, you just find a place where you're like, oh my gosh, I see it. And now that I see it, I feel called to do something about it and try to help, right? And right. I think that's where compassion starts. And there's, if you do not have an awareness of it, if you don't physically see what it is you're trying to help or support or grow, like you can't truly have a sense of compassion for it, because I don't know that you completely understand it until you see it. So I start with that because I think the baseline of having a level of compassion for anything is having a level of understanding of it.
Right.
And for us as school employees, staff members, and part of the Sigler Nation family, like we have to understand where our families come from, right? And one of the pushes that we continue to make that I think we've made some great strides in trying to develop that sense of compassion and understanding is getting into the community where our families are at, right? Spending time at the beginning of the year focused on developing relationships with our people and getting out into the apartment complexes and doing small gestures like serving ice cream on a hot summer day, just showing our community that, man, hey, listen, we know where you're at. We want to show you that we care. We want to connect with you in a space that's comfortable for you as a starting spot, right? And develop those relationships so that our families know that, man, we're on your side. Like we see your struggles, we see your celebrations, and we want to stand right beside you through all of it. The good, the bad, and everything in between, so that when you do need our help, you know where to find us. And then when things are going well, Like, you let us know, and we love celebrating that with you. But I think there's a difference in that between having compassion, and then with that comes empathy and an understanding of where people are at and how you can help them get to the next spot on their journey, versus feeling sorry for people. Because I truly believe the last thing our families and kids need is someone in their corner who feels sorry for them, right? They don't view it as a hardship necessarily. Like, it's where they're at in, you know, this season of life. And sometimes that season of life is way longer than you'd want it to be for them. We see it as a hardship because we know what it's like on the other side. Most of these kids, like, this is their experience and they don't have something else to compare it to. So to feel sorry for that, like, they don't get that. Like, right. They just want to be loved and be taken care of.
Man, there's so much good stuff in all that. I think, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, it reflects so perfectly the conversation that we've been having in our office also, as we're talking about how we talk about compassion. And when we were trying to figure out what to name this chapter in the book, we kept coming back, like, originally it was empathy, but that wasn't really right. And when we were looking at definitions, and then it was love, and we were like, that's not really it either. But it's all of those things. Mm-hmm. And why compassion stuck out to us, which I think you just highlighted really well, is that the definition of compassion is empathy with action. And it's, you know, it's the definition that we're choosing to use in that, and that we've seen in around. And I love that, because it's exactly what you said. It's not feeling sorry for families. It's not making them feel like their place isn't the right place to be, but it's acknowledging that if there's a challenge, like, we're here to help figure out how to move past that challenge. Mm-hmm. And as a team member, one of the other things that you said there that really rang out to me is this idea of standing next to somebody. And that is the true definition of family engagement. It's a partnership, right? We're not doing for you. We're right here with you. You talked a lot about your staff being all in on this. And I wonder if you can just speak a little bit to that. When you're recruiting staff, or when you are talking to staff who might be hesitant, right? Because we know not everyone's on the same page about this at all times. Like, how have you built a staff that is on the same page?
Right. Yeah. So I'm entering, this is my 8th year at Sigler, which, like, it's so hard to believe, right? Like, I remember being with Mike at my previous campus like it was yesterday. But 8 years into this, like, I've been able to create this group of folks. And some people were here long before I showed up. And we've brought people along through the journey. But it's trying to find the right types of people, right? Just great people. And I've always said, when you find a great person, like, you can make a great person into a phenomenal teacher. But you'll never take a person with a rotten heart and make them a great teacher, right? Like, it's got to be the right kind of people. So, you know, part of the, like, we joke about the hashtag, but part of sharing our story out to a larger audience, like, when we start to hire teachers that fit the mold of who we're looking for, a lot of those people will start finding you because they see what you do outside of the school walls. And that's attractive to them because they feel called to serve in a similar capacity, right? So sharing our story is very important to what we do. It's important for our community, and it's important for how we just brand ourselves to, like, the teaching world and to the community in general. But I'll tell you, the brass tacks of it is really just sharing. When folks come in and we interview them, like, we're very transparent with the work that we do and how we do it and where we do it. And we don't pull any punches on how difficult it is, right? It's not for the faint of heart, man. And entering year number 16, and certainly there's teachers here that have been in this profession longer than I have that still get perplexed by the difficulty of it and the number of things that can bog you down in any one day. But the work that allows us to get through that comes back to compassion, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm doing this for these kids that walk in here every day. I'm doing this because I see how much of an impact it can make on the mom and the dad. And I see the relationships that we've cultivated over the time here, where now we've got this great pre-K program here, and you've got families that are coming in that know who we are because they've had older siblings come in. So now we're getting the next generation of kids, which is awesome, because the parents trust us 100%, that they know what we stand for. They know that we're here to help, and they feel more comfortable coming to us, asking for support with less worry about, oh my gosh, are they going to judge me? Are they going to think less of me? They put the pride aside, and that's not me, man. Like, that speaks to all of the teachers, and I get to interact with our families quite a bit, but our teachers get the daily interactions with the moms and the dads and the kids, and the phone calls and the texts and just being available. to listen to our parents.
Like you said, there's a lot of challenges and successes. Can you just kind of articulate, because I think sometimes when we're doing this and when we talk to people and put on a front, like we want to talk about all the great things that happen, which is really important and awesome. Mm-hmm. But those challenges and difficulties are the real knit bats right down in the trenches. It's not easy. When you think about getting to this point where you are with your families over the last 8 years or, you know, all of your career, can you kind of just speak to some of those challenges that might, I mean, those daily challenges as well, but in getting families to build those relationships with you?
Yeah. So like our one of our biggest challenges at our campus, the way our attendance zone is made up, we have two apartment complexes, one of which is significantly large, right? It is a huge apartment complex. And just in my 8 years here, it has been under three different levels of management. And we find that each time a management group comes in, like everybody has the same task and goal of trying to improve the standard of living in this apartment community, right? But to do so, like it takes so much money to turn that around. So you see these management groups come in and first thing they do in an effort to try to reinvigorate the community is raise the rent. Like they need more income. So like they raise the rent and then our families who were just scraping by to make ends meet are now left, like, where do I live now? Because I can't afford this apartment complex with the increased level of rent. So our mobility, we serve just over 400 students. Our mobility is right around 20%.
Wow.
So we'll see upwards of 600 kids come in and out over the course of a school year, but we never get larger than about 400. That in itself is a very, you know, concerning trend, I guess, because the consistency of what you want kids to have just isn't in place for them. And that's not the fault of anybody. That's just kind of where we're at, knowing that our families are trying to do the best they can every day. I would say the second concerning piece that we see then, because of the mobility and the inconsistency of knowing where I'm going to be going to school from year to year or where I'm going to be living from year to year, is just from a medical standpoint, if you're not set up in a community, you don't have regular access to dentists and doctors and getting your well checks and your visits. So the amount of support from a medical standpoint that we try to provide to our families, ensuring that kids get their vision checked and they have eyeglasses and their teeth are in good standing, or they just have a doctor they can go to when their kid is sick, right? All of those things are just the daily, I don't want to call them struggles, but just the daily things you try to help families overcome so that their kids are just well taken care of.
Well, and it's interesting too, when you knowing some of your challenges and even hearing about those. And then in that same conversation, we're talking about hashtags, right? And so many people don't see the linkage. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we've got all these problems. We can't brand our school and we can't be excited about learning because we have challenges. You know, right. you and I both know, well, we all do, schools and principals and even mindsets. So you've got these challenges and they're very real every day. And if we don't see the work here, if we don't hear about the work you're doing, if we don't, you know, like I said, I've watched you guys, been there on the campus. And so we know, you know, people kind of get this idea, or they could, I don't know that they do or not. If they're paying attention, I don't think they do, of, oh, but it's, you got this over here. And, but then you got challenges. And so talk about, got these services and you got these supports in place, but talk about how, like you said, by not feeling sorry for those families and by setting expectations and structures to support those expectations, you guys are excited about Sigler and you guys are excited about kids coming in. You're excited about kids learning. And it's not those, you know, those 10 kids with all the resources that are succeeding and excelling even. You've got all these kids coming from all kinds of challenges. So talk to me about how that fits in, you know, again, with the excitement and the branding and the ideas that you bring to the table all the while you're supporting this, maybe even supporting your staff that's right, supporting as well. So
that's a loaded question, but it's a great one, man. So like, it's so easy, even for those of us that are in this, you can play the woe is me card really quick, right?
Right.
And you can make excuses that, oh, well, I'm a Title I campus, or, oh, I serve a bilingual population. Oh, well, this percent of my community is Hispanic. And all of that's kind of hogwash, man, because at the end of the day, the expectation that all of my students have here at Sigler is the same expectation at the state level, at the district level, for every other kid that's in an elementary school setting, right? So how do we try to shake off whatever stereotypes, good or bad, come with being at a Title I school, just to take care of business and to do it in a way that allows the kids to want to come back tomorrow, right? So we're not just focused on passing a test or meeting a mark or getting a grade. Like, we truly try to create an experience, right? And I'll tell people that, like, I want Sigler to be a place where families and kids can come in and be exposed to experiences and opportunities that they would not get if they were going to school somewhere else.
Right.
And if that's the bar, like, got the limits are, like, it's endless what you could do, right? So, like, you got to attract the parents that are okay with knowing that at the end of the day, if the state accountability is the thing that I want to hang my hat on, like, this may not be the building for you. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what else I can do for your child. So that by the time they get to middle school, they'll be exposed and ready for A, B, C, and D, right? So I guess the one thing that stands out to me as you ask these questions, like, you want to create a place where kids are excited to come and teachers are excited to be. And I think, you know, when you're never there, like, you always want to be 10 steps farther down the road than you are, right? So I've got to humble myself quite often because I'm that driven orange personality who's super competitive and always wants to be better the next day. But every now and then you just have to take a step back and be like, oh my gosh, man, like, look at how far we've come and look at our journey and look at the types of people that we're now attracting that wants to come and work here, right? Yeah. Like, teachers have so many choices when it comes to, like, man, I want to teach fourth grade. Like, where can I work? Man, you can work anywhere, right? But these folks choose to come here and choose to do this. And I've got an interesting statistic that is different for us this year, where when I started here 8 years ago, the noise in the community was, that's not where you want to send your children because that's the Title I school. Like, that's where the bilingual students go. And I don't want my students learning Spanish, right? That goes back to the compassion thing, because you just don't understand it because you haven't seen it. Like, you haven't been in it.
Right.
And I would invite anybody willing to visit, man, I tell you what, you, as a public school, you can send your child anywhere.
Right.
And I'm cool with that. And if this isn't the place for you, I'm good with that too. But don't write us off without at least coming into our building and see what we have to offer. And after doing that, if that's not for you, then, man, like, let's shake hands and I wish you the best wherever you're going to go next. But give us the opportunity to allow you to see what we do. And over the years, like, that story has changed. And this year we have, so I mentioned earlier, we have just over 400 students that are enrolled here. 73 of them are here on a transfer.
Wow.
So that they choose to drive across the city to deliver their child here every morning, right? And we don't even let it, you know, and then, gosh, with that comes a whole other set of, you know, concerns where, God, you can't get on the school bus now to come to school. Your mom and dad have to get you here on time, right? Which that can be a booger. But I'll tell you what, our attendance is the best that it's been in recent history. Like, kids are getting here on time. Kids are getting here for their day. So it's exciting when you've got a community that truly wants to be a part of the school, right? With all the needs and everything else that we have.
So you talk about all of that is phenomenal. And you talk about this community that you've built. And you've mentioned that several times, which is great to think about school as bigger than just a building. And I think that's a really important message when we're talking about family engagement, because it pulls you out into the community and builds its own community around the school. But when you think about building that community, in what ways are parents pulled into that community? So I know you talked about you guys going out to them, but in what ways are you pulling parents in also, right, to be a part of your community on site?
Right. We've got a couple of different programs that meet regularly. And I'll tell you, part of it's an extension of our school district. So Plano ISD for years has had Plano Family Literacy, which is a standalone program. Basically, it's an ESL program where you're inviting families in, their children may be preschool aged, and you're teaching the parents, helping them acquire the English language, but also supplying them with those parenting skills, those foundational parenting skills that you know you want them to have to allow them to be their child's first teacher. And that's what they say at the family literacy centers, that every parent is the child's first teacher. How can we take advantage of that? We are in our fourth year now of being the district's second family literacy site. So we've got pre-K through fifth grade happening day to day here. And then three additional days of the week, we have a class for our parents. Then the parents come to school from, it's 8 to 12, 3 days a week. And if they've got preschool age kids still in the home that maybe aren't old enough for our pre-K program, or the child isn't ready to be in pre-K full time, like, they can bring their preschool age kids to school with them. And we've got another classroom designed just for our family literacy preschool program. And we've got students in there over the 4 years, as young as a year old up to, you know, 4 years old, ready to make the transition into pre-care, kindergarten the following year. And that has been awesome. You talk about parents going from a reluctant learner to an empowered example for other parents. It's mind-blowing now to see some of these folks and how comfortable and confident they are when they walk into the school. Like, there's members of that class now that are on our PTA board, right? Where years ago, it would be unheard of to have a non-English speaker on one of our PTA boards, just from the sheer fear, right, that they have to overcome walking into that space, being able to, number one, communicate, number two, understand what the expectations are. And then number three, you have to go out back into the community and you know, be a representative of the school. There's so much fear that would take over. But like, they are so confident in what they do now that they're taking on these more involved roles and being an example for our other parents. So the literacy, the family literacy piece has been awesome to add to the arsenal of tools that we have here. But the two other things that we kind of hang our hat on is, you know, learning from what Mike has done with the Strong Fathers, Strong Families. We've created basically a dad's club that meets. It's the first Friday of every month. And myself, we've got a social worker here that helps our dads, you know, in leading through basically a curriculum written for dads and their children. So the dads in, you know, most campuses will do a Donuts with Dads Day once a year. Like, we do it every month, and we get the dads in here, and we, you know, of course, are connecting with them and trying to reiterate the importance of them being involved in their child's education. But it's also just getting families into the building to witness and see what these relationships look like. And then we do, you know, it's kind of funny. So we did this with the dads for years. I think this is probably our fourth or fifth year doing this with dads. And I started getting some flack from the moms, like, hey, what about us? Like, why don't we get a day with our kids? So at the end of the school year, I told them, I said, listen, we'll do it, but you have to come, right? Like, we're not going to advertise it and then do it. And then 2 months into it, like, nobody shows up. So if you guys want it, let's do it. But you make sure the rest of the moms are aware that this is what we're doing. So the second Friday of every month is for the moms. And I tell you what, at this point, the moms outpace the dads. Like, we have more moms that come in just to spend time with their child in the morning. And we advertise it as it's just an intentional time for you to come in, connect with your child, sit down, you know, aside from the rigmarole of getting ready in the morning and rushing down a breakfast and getting in the car and bringing your kid to school, like, come in and sit down and share a breakfast with your child. And we'll structure it around just a conversation that can uplift both of you before you have to go to work, right? And we're done by about 7:45, and the parents are off to work and the kids are off in class, and the day gets rolling. But I talk about the empowerment from the moms in our parent literacy group. Like, that is now transferred into those mom classes. So the second Friday, we invite those moms to come in, and they'll stay and they'll have breakfast and they'll have a conversation with their child. About 7:45, we'll, you know, thank everyone for coming, and we'll get the kids into the classroom. And now there's a group of moms that stays afterwards, and it turns into a small little, like, what would you like to learn about this school year? And now we set up sessions where the moms from parent literacy, there's a nutrition aspect of that. Like, they came in at the end of last year and taught the room full of moms how to be better moms from a health and nutrition standpoint for their children. And they're learning about how to take care of their medical needs. They're learning about how to access the library. Like, the list goes on and on. And it's all driven from what the parents have requested.
That's so cool. When I listen to you talk about this also, it gets me so excited, because this is what we hope to hear when we talk about family engagement, right? Is that there are child outcomes that we're trying for, but another part of that is that family empowerment, and how are they growing in their journey with us as well to be representatives for their kids and advocates for their kids and themselves as they move through the rest of the school years.
That's it, man. That's it. Like, when you can look at that family literacy class and the kids that aren't in school yet see their mom or dad going to school 3 days a week and coming home with homework and doing the homework and participating in service learning outside of the home. Like, oh my gosh, what a great example for those kids. When they come into school, they see what it takes to be a successful learner.
Absolutely. And you've given these parents now a positive first interaction with school.
Absolutely.
You know, that space is a scary space to walk into if it's not something that you grew up being comfortable walking into.
Right, right. Because so the majority of our families had a positive school experience.
Yeah. So just restarting that, you know, I think that's awesome.
Well, and that's the deal. I'm with Lindsay. You got me all excited. I've got to go to a principal's meeting tomorrow to talk myself out of wanting to be a principal again. A principal meeting pretty much does it for me.
There you go.
You guys have to fight all the other stuff that comes along with the fighting that you're doing. And I know you're you've done the work and you're putting in the effort. And again, we love watching you guys. It is Sigler Stars on Facebook and Sigler Stars on Twitter as well, I think also.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And see the great things that are going on there. Matt, we definitely want to have you back, but man, we love what you guys are doing. I love watching you guys. And like, I'm just like Lindsay. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I felt like I just watched Mel Gibson on a horse or something, but you know, I don't know if your hair is that long, but
my hair is not that long, but I tell you what, we get fired up about what we do and trying to take care of our community, man.
Right. And you guys are doing a great job. And I know you're leading the charge on that. So we appreciate you joining us. We'll put links in the show notes on this for them to kind of watch, because I watch you guys all the time. Like I said, I'm sharing that with other people and people can learn from what you guys are doing. And we hope to have you on, talk about more of this in the near future.
I love it. I appreciate the opportunity and I look forward to connecting with both of you again soon.
This podcast has been a collaboration between Parents as Teachers National Center and Strong Fathers, Strong Families, LLC. To learn more, visit us at either www.parentsasteachers.org or www.strongfathers.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook